This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Happy Friday Eve. I'm so excited. I've got big plans for the weekend. I'm going to have some fun.
Yeah, well, you know, we always get to look forward to the weekends. Granted, they seem to be coming, you know, quick and fast, and then they're over before you know it, and then it's another week. We are already, May 7th.
I know.
So we are, like, what, 12 days away from Election Day? Tuesday the 19th comes very, very fast.
It does. It does. And, it's interesting seeing all the campaigns out there, you know, ramping up. I've been getting tons of emails and seeing all the Facebook posts and all the stuff. And then I'm seeing a lot of kind of ookity icky crap going on, especially out on X, where you got, well, this guy's a liar. Well, she said, it's like, ah. Yeah. And some people I'm like, dude, you are burning some bridges here. Are you going to be, what are you going to do if the guy that you're sitting here beating up wins?
Yeah, well,
I don't get these people. There's a couple of them. I'm not going to name names. Probably a lot of you know who some of these people are. They're just flamethrowers out there and these big long tweets, and it's like, what do you got? Because, and you don't want to comment, because if you disagree with them, they block you. So you just, come on, Oregon.
I just sit here and you start getting that kind of behavior online, and I go, we need to, gather up and get everybody out there to vote if we ever want to not have a Democrat governor in this state. And
right.
Yet all you see is this massive infighting, whether it's they're not conservative enough, they're too conservative, they're not willing to bow down, pledge allegiance to MAGA. I don't know what the scenarios are, but I get so sick and tired of seeing the Republican side bite the head off of everyone they can.
Yeah, and what I'd like to see, everybody has their favorite candidate. Tell us about the good things about your candidate instead of crapping all over everybody else's choices. It's like focus on the positive. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know.
I just sit here and I go, okay, and it's a challenge you'll see every once in a while. It's like, tell me why I should vote for this person, whether Republican, Democrat, without using their opponent's name. It's like right now, Tina Kotek, tell me why I should vote for you without mentioning Trump. She can't do it. And I go, it's a Democrat strategy, is just tear down your opponent rather than tell me what you can actually do for me.
And we kind of do that when we interview candidates and things like that. It's like, I don't want to talk about your opponent.
No.
What's I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about you. What are you going to do? What are your plans? What are your goals? What's your vision? Who are you?
And I would love to see more of that in today's politics. I'm so weary and so beaten down by the constant negative approach to everything. It's like, if you think you're the best candidate, you should be able to tell me why you're the best candidate, not why you're better than garbage. I don't need to know why you're better than garbage. I need to know why you're the best candidate.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Obviously, the 19th is coming up fast. I think, 11 days, 12 days to that. And then, of course, people are voting, early voting in states that have early voting. Obviously, Oregon, mail-in voting. I think a lot of people have kind of gotten the memo where it's like, as soon as you get your ballot, vote. Mm-hmm. Which I always think, is good. I mean, I was always one of those diehards holding out, and I shifted that up over the last couple of cycles. But, you want to get it in. And if not, really just for the campaign, because they're not having to chase your ballot, spend money on it. They don't have to target you. They can put those resources elsewhere.
Well, and do it for your own state of mind. You can stop getting text messages, phone calls, door knocking, flyers. You can get rid of all of those things if you get your vote in early.
So there's the upside to that. Hold on, I got a cough.
No. Uh-oh, good thing there's a mute button.
I know, it's good that you have a mute button. Okay, today's National Day of Prayer, among other things. So there are a couple of events. It's the 75th annual celebration of the National Day of Prayer. This was enacted by Congress in 1952. The Oregon Capitol Rotunda tonight from 6 to 7:45. There's a worship and prayer as we celebrate the goodness of God in America and implore the blessings of the Lord. Pray over this election. Pray over the state of Oregon. There are 7 topics that you can pray for. Again, hat tip to Shelley Davis for this post and my friend Jason who posted it. Government, 1 Timothy, military, arts and entertainment, media, business, education. I can share that post as it's got Proverbs, Psalms, it's got all the Bible verses and chapters and verses where you need to go. But this is a great opportunity to get down there and to bow our heads in prayer for the United States of America.
Yeah, well, the world, for everything. Yeah. I mean, there's so many areas in need of prayer right now. You're bound to find something that tickles your fancy to pray about. It shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. So hold on, I'm taking notes. Yeah, I want to make sure we get that out there so that people can go if they want to attend. Okay, one of the other things I'm seeing, and this is, talk about needing prayer, because you can feel it ramping up. Hunter, hantavirus. I know. You got pearls? Clutch them.
They're clutched. They are tightly clutched right now. I mean, I am freaking out. You know, isn't this like... So each day you send a this day in history thing, and I always look through it and I'm kind of going, shouldn't we be coming up on that, you know, every, you know, on this day 4 years ago and 8 years ago and 6 years ago, a new virus sprung out of nowhere and was going to be the next pandemic? Because we're getting into that routine, and I go, you know, the only reason COVID reached the level it did is because it politically benefited one side.
Exactly. Hantavirus season is election season. Mm-hmm. Honestly, once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's so silly. And you're already seeing, and I'm saying people out there, I'm like, first of all, I'm not going to ever wear a mask. You're not going to get me to get a shot. You're not going to get me to play along with this crap. I didn't buy it the first time. I'm not buying it this time. Robert Malone, who was one of the ones, basically, he was the mRNA guy who basically said no, has come out and said, your odds of being struck by lightning are more than 7 times greater than getting hantavirus in the United States. About 250 get struck by lightning each year. There are about 35 cases per year of hantavirus, and with about 12 deaths per year on average. Obviously, hantavirus shouldn't be a big concern for the vast majority of Americans. Mm-hmm. Can we just, period, drop the mic? Thank you, Dr. Malone.
Yeah, well, and that's, I just go back to just about every major election in the last couple of decades where there's always this conversation, whether it's West Nile virus or, you know, any of these bug-borne illnesses. What, the chicken flu, I think, was one.
Bird
flu. Mad cow disease, bird flu.
Legionnaire's disease, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going, it's become so routine. And I guess, you know, speaking of this day in history, the only thing that would really... in 1847, the American Medical Association was founded in Philadelphia. So maybe that was the turn where we started getting, you know, routine, you know, next pandemic level stuff showing up year after year after year.
Well, you just remember the vaccine schedule prior to 1987. It was like single digits, I think five, maybe seven shots. After 1987, it started going up, and now you look at it, and you know, if you look at the graphics where you've got hypodermic and syringes in the baby, it looks like a porcupine. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm glad the Trump administration scaled that back as far as what recommendations are, but I hope a lot of parents are doing research before they just sort of blindly say, "Yeah, sure, stick that in my kid."
Well,
I don't know.
Well, what's so frustrating in a state like Oregon is as the Trump administration rolls it back, the state of Oregon decides they're going to double down. You know, we can't let them dictate that you're not mandated by everything we say. How dare you not mandate?
Right. And honestly, with COVID, I mean, these clowns permanently, they have undermined their authority. I don't believe them anymore. I think you're really kind of a fool if you do, or at least question what's coming out. I still remember that press conference. Remember that press conference? She was literally had clown makeup on when she's telling you this was from OHA, the number of deaths. I mean, Oregon was an absolute clown show over COVID. So I'm wondering what they're going to do, but you can see the signs. They're starting to ramp it up. But the bottom line is nobody believes them anymore. So even if something really apocalyptic were to come, no one's going to believe them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. It's the, you know, the boy who cried wolf mentality.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
cried wolf. And then when crying wolf wasn't enough, they, you know, brought, you know, skewed
bribed.
The numbers to being wolf. And then they, you know, gave the wolf burgers and then they gave them donuts and then they paid the money. And then all of a sudden now it's like you look back on it and you go, wow, I can't believe so many people bought into this.
Yeah, I'm in a number of like prepper and preparedness forums, and somebody was out there and asked the question, what should I be doing to get prepared for this? I have little kids, and the first and most popular answer was turn off the TV.
I'm going to tell you right now, you know, if there was ever an issue health-wise massive enough in the United States that was actually legitimate, our public transportation systems are going to be the cause and the super spreaders, because you get on an airplane, you're locked into a tube yeah. with a bunch of people. You get on a bus, you're locked into a bus with a bunch of people. You get in a train, you're locked into a train with a bunch of people. And yet that seems to be the push from government, is everyone should be in public transportation. Is that to maybe factor into the idea that we can push narratives of pandemics if we have the majority of the citizens locked into small tubes together?
Yeah, well, I know they always say that cruise ships are the worst petri dishes because you're trapped on this big giant floating thing in the middle of nowhere with people with maybe questionable hygiene habits. And then you see what happens when there is an outbreak, and you see how little it takes, how little stress really it takes for people to start behaving really badly. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm going to go back to Dr. Malone. I don't have any fear over this. I'm afraid. I hope I don't see. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm worried about it because, yes, it is election season and you do need a distraction. So we'll have to see. But I know a lot of people whose eyes are fully open. Scales have fallen from a lot of eyes and they're not buying it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. All right. Nice try there. But if I see another press conference with clown makeup on.
Or a bow tie.
I'm so over bow ties. All right. Let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
So there's a lot of sort of feeling that things are just kind of getting crummier and crappier, and things are just not as good. I see so many posts of people being so nostalgic for the 90s kids going back, and there's all these AI videos of, like, you know, little kids playing in the 70s. I grew up in the 70s, and it was like we were basically feral kids. I mean, you just went outside and you were grubby and dirty, and you came home when it got dark, and you ate whatever mom put in front of you, and if you didn't, then you went hungry and all that. And so there's a question of, like, when did things start to shift? I think one of them for me is the monoculture, because there was a time when you and I would probably be watching, let's say, Friends, mm-hmm. and we were all watching that. And the next day at work, if it was a really great episode, we'd all have that in common and we'd talk about it. We were all kind of going to see the same movies. There was just a lot of things that sort of bound us all together culturally, where we don't really have that anymore. Everyone is over here in their niche. They're streaming their own thing. You can stream that. I've got my indie music that still sounds like 70s and 80s music. I can be watching something completely different than you. There's no commonality there. And I think that really was kind of around that the peak of the when it was good was like 2006, 2007.
Yeah. And I sit here, I go, for me, one of the other things that changed society in a massive way was putting cameras into everyone's hand.
Oh, gosh.
You know, because before 2006, 2007, smartphones weren't that smart. They were the Blackberries that you could type an email on.
I had a Palm Pilot, yeah.
Yeah, but you could type an email with them, you could connect to the internet, yada yada, but you couldn't do pictures, at least right. in any quality. Everyone had disposable cameras. If you weren't buying a really nice film camera, you bought a disposable one.
Right.
And I remember all the candid photos of every event you're going to. There's a disposable camera on the table.
Right.
Just they Weddings. Encourage you, pick it up, take shots all over the place, and at the end of the night, we'll turn in, we'll go get them all developed and see what we get. Life was a crapshoot back then.
It was, right? And you had, and a lot of, when we were even really, you had to wait a week to see that you got grandma with her eyes closed and, you know, her mouth hanging open like she was mm-hmm. asleep. So it's interesting. So 2007, I think, is pivotal because that's when the iPhone hit. Mm-hmm. So Matt Walsh has got a tweet out here. He's saying 2007 smartphone, social media. And I think he's right on this, Obama. Mm-hmm. I remember the Obama election, and that was the first time I'd seen, I really felt like, colleagues and coworkers and people started getting vicious. I remember I worked with a lot of people who were on Team Obama. And you remember when Sarah Palin was running and it was all about Caribou Barbie, and it was just, and the women were the worst. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women that I worked with that were really nasty about it. That was the first election that I really started seeing that, where it's like, what the hell is this? Before, it's like, I'm going to vote forever. Nobody cared. And you voted for what? And you always figured, you know, if my guy doesn't win, well, in 4 years, I've got it. This election changed everything. And then, of course, you had the beer summit, the police acting stupidly. And that was really the start of it all. And I really think we've gone very rapidly downhill since then.
Well, and I think a lot of it goes back to the campaign mentality of You couldn't push back on him because then the news would throw racist out there.
Right.
And where racism was virtually on its deathbed in 2006.
Yep.
His election brought it back. So you had people that were voting for him simply because of the color of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And again, tell me why you're the best candidate. I don't ever remember hearing him tell us why he was the best candidate. It was all these talking points. And it's really where the talking point in politics became really, really the forefront of a political campaign.
And what's interesting is he told us everything he was going to do, and most people at that point didn't believe it. You remember, quote, we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Mm-hmm. What is that? What did that mean at the time? And I don't think most people really knew what that meant. Mm-hmm. Now here we are in 2026, and you go, oh, okay, we know what that meant, and here we are. Are we better now? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so at all. I think
you can tell it was a massive... It was a massive plot with a smile and a delivery that made you just feel calm and direct about it. And then a media that put it out there as you're doing something amazing and showing that that America has moved beyond civil rights.
Yeah, and I remember at the time trying to get excited, except that the people that were on his team were so nasty. And I'm like, what is this? Because I remember I watched the inauguration. I thought, this is cool. Okay, we've got, you know, he's half black. You know, he could be post-racial and all the stuff that we were thinking. And it just didn't. And then I remember the 2012 election and just, of course, we had Romney Ryan on the Republican ticket. Somebody else is saying 9/11. Mm-hmm. 9/11 was a game changer. Obviously, September 11th, 2001. That changed everything. That changed everything as well. So yeah, you just look back. And what was it? Somebody was saying, you know, 30 years ago, and my brain automatically went to the 70s. That's actually like 1996.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. My 30-year high school reunion is coming up this summer, and I'm just sitting here going, it hasn't been that long. I remember it like it was yesterday. Come on. It was only like a few years ago. Yeah, 30 years ago, that was, you know, 1982. Come on, relax.
So one of the other things a lot of people are noticing as well, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where somebody had the 5-pound bag of potatoes at Walmart, mm-hmm. actually weighed it, and it was only 3 pounds of potatoes. So this Wall Street Apes is tweeting out, the mainstream media is now confirming that we are being robbed at grocery stores. Product after product, they took off the shelf and they weigh them, and it's always short.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Shrimp. They say that they took a bag and it was a half a pound short. Shrimp's not cheap. And then the other thing is people posting pictures, 3 steaks for $75.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
ground beef for $30.
Yeah. Well, and I just sit here and go, you know, when we first came up with the story about the potato bag.
Yeah.
They were using the scales, the vegetable scales that they have at the grocery store.
The hanging ones?
Yeah. And so I kind of, you could sit there and say, okay, well, maybe the scales aren't calibrated well. Maybe, you know, there's an issue there. Well, these guys are actually buying it, taking it home, and then weighing it.
On digital scales.
Yeah, and you are definitely seeing, I mean, we talk a lot about how as inflation happened, a lot of stores, they didn't adjust the prices, they adjusted the size. So you went from a 16-ounce jar to a 12-ounce jar for the same price. But this is taken above and beyond. At least with that, you can recognize, you can see it if you're looking at that price per pound or price per ounce, whatever. This is a full another game changer if we're being shorted in everything we buy. And well, and of course, the $75 steaks, $30 ground beef.
Gosh.
I'm sitting there going, it's going to double that in Oregon if, you know, IP-28 ever gets on the ballot and passes.
I haven't seen any updates on that as far as signature collecting, if whether that's going to be, I just, you have to think that sanity will prevail. And then I go, oh, wait, no, sorry.
This is Oregon.
I know. Portland. I'm thinking sanity, Portland and Eugene.
Sanity packed up and it moved to a red state already.
Well, the other thing, too, is I haven't seen them yet, although maybe the mustache has. He does more of the shopping. Digital price tags. And people are seeing they're actually changing in real time. And so they're talking about, you know, what is it like surge pricing? Like in Uber, if it's like Saturday night at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to pay more because there's more people wanting it. So they're saying that now with smart RFID and everything else, that if you're in a grocery store and it looks, which is really scary.
Yeah.
Well, now the store knows your spending habits and they know that you'll spend a little bit more for this. So boop, the price goes up a little bit. I haven't seen that, but somebody did say they saw one of the signs change in real time.
So I saw a little thing on that. I haven't seen it in Oregon at all. I haven't seen it yet, but at the same time, they're also pointing out that somebody was pointing out that they think they have little video cameras so they can see if you walk up, you think about buying it, you look at the price and you say, no, that's too expensive, and walk away. So they can adjust pricing based on that. I'm saying you're going, I mean, the idea behind this is scary. Let's say I'm going to the store and I'm buying bags of chips for an event, and I'm getting like 6 cases of chips, right? Well, if I go buy 6 cases of chips, is that price going to go up because now there's only 1 case of chips left on the shelf?
Yes, I think in theory, yes.
Theoretically, that all could be coming to a grocery store shelf near you. And when they, you know, if they get those digital scales in there, when the bag, you know, gets a little small and the chips are all crumpled up at the bottom, maybe the price will go up or down.
It's like, grow your own vegetables, get to know your local farmer, go to the farmer's market, get to know your local rancher, try to buy as locally sourced. Plus, you're going to get better quality food. It just tastes better versus a tomato from the grocery store versus a tomato from the farmer's market. I mean, even you just look at them side by side. Because this is crazy. I mean, what are you going to do? Bring a digital scale with you every time you go and weigh everything? Yeah. But this is a, you know, a digital currency. This is smart. Again, thanks iPhone back in 2007, where this all started. And then, of course, you know, clicking accept, which I'm guilty of this because we had to get a new TV and I had to, and I'm like, yeah, accept. So I get it. I do it too.
Well, and then
do
you
I want to read 5 pages of terms of service? No.
Yeah.
Yes.
The iPhone in 2007 and then the COVID push of take everything out of your hands, make it all digital, have it all just delivered to you safe and sound. You don't even have to look beyond a web page to do any shopping anymore. That whole mentality, what a shift.
And if you look rich, it'll jack the price up there too. So look poor when you go grocery shopping. Okay, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, so kind of in the same vein as before the break, you know, talking about how it seems like, you know, everything is cheaper. Remember, you used to have a refrigerator, you'd have a washing machine back in the day with the knob that would go click, 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 and you'd punch it in to start it, and it lasted 40 years. Mm-hmm. And now it's like you'll get a warranty on a brand new, all the bells and whistles, and the second, literally had that happen to a friend, like the day after the warranty, everything goes wrong with it. So really give me dumb appliances. And I really want a dumb phone, too. I have to have a smart TV because that's all I could find, but I'd rather have a dumb TV.
Yeah, well, that's all you can get now are smart TVs.
I know.
They don't make dumb TVs anymore. I sit there and I go, you know, my family had an old Sony television, big box thing.
The one that weighed 500 pounds?
And it literally, I think it lasted 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it just never died. But, you know, today's TVs, they're designed to break. And then you go to the store, you buy a new one, you pay an extra $100 for that extended warranty. And the moment that extended warranty date is up, it all goes haywire and you go buy another one. And I sit there and go, you know, at least some of these appliances, like especially TVs now, are getting to the point where you can sit there and justify $200 or $300 for a TV today. And if it lasts me 4 years, I'll buy another one at that point.
That is exactly the metric we had. It was like $238 for a 50-inch super high HD, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. It changes the picture.
Okay, I had to
change the settings. It's like everything looks like a soap opera.
Yeah, you got to go change the settings because it comes out with like this movie format is the one, like the default one. So you really need to change it back to more designed for TV viewing.
Yeah, it made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I forget what I was watching, but I'm like, this looks like it's Young and the Restless. It was just weird.
Part of technology, while we're on that little rant, I'm saying they're going, how lazy of a society do they think we are that you have an internet-connected washing machine or dryer so that when you're out and about, you can literally go on your phone and say, start the washing machine.
I have that. I never use it. I know. I have one of those combo Europeans.
We just might need to sign this show off forever. I don't even know anymore.
I know. Look at you. You're railing against it. But that's what I could find. There's not a lot of, you don't have a lot of choices anywhere. So, okay, getting back to Apple, I do not have Apple products. I have had iPhones in the past. Mm-hmm. I think I had an iPhone 4. That tells you the last time I had an iPhone. What are they up to, like 16 or 17 now?
Yeah, something like that. I think 17.
So this kind of goes back to, you know, oh, it's going to go, oh, it just goes, it dies the day after. So a former software engineer for Apple is whistleblowing. She says, and how many people suspected this, whenever Apple launches a new phone, they would push an update to the older iPhones with malware to slow them down. This pushes people to upgrade. Quote, I used to be a software engineer at Apple, and with every new phone that was released, malware was installed on the older phones to make you have to update. So your phone's not just glitching. It's doing that on purpose. And so she's saying share before it's deleted. It says she's telling the truth. This is Wall Street Apes out there, who tends to be pretty reliable. Proven in court in 2017 Batterygate scandal, where Apple was caught deliberately slowing down older iPhones through software updates. I don't have an iPhone, but I am dealing with my phone I've had for a few years, and it's really slowing down. And the only way to fix it, I had to buy more
memory.
What do you call it? More gigs.
Okay, so yeah. I had an iPhone 10 for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And you know how I beat their system?
No.
I just set it to not automatically update. It had to ask me whenever it wanted to update, or I had to go in and actually do an update myself. So unless it reached a point where, like you said, I didn't have enough memory for something, or there was something I needed to download, I let a few apps literally outpace that, and I'm like, I don't use this app enough to sit there and say, I need a new phone for it. So I just delete the app when it finally says, your phone is no longer compatible with this app. But I just took out the updates, and it worked fine for a long time. And realistically, I still have the phone. It's one of my extra phones.
Yeah, we have older phones, too. Mm-hmm. I don't use them. The mustache does. Yeah, and then of course you can't change the battery, so basically it's planned obsolescence. The second they want to, they decide that it's old and they want you to purchase something new. And they're not cheap. I was out there because I was looking, thinking maybe I had to buy a new phone, and I was out pricing them. And iPhones are not cheap at all. And so again, I have a Android phone that once I added the memory or whatever, more gigs of whatever I needed to gig up, it's running better, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. But it's really kind of annoying that you just feel like you're being played as a consumer on so many levels.
Well, I mean, it's a concept that's been going on virtually, you know, when you would go out and buy a new computer.
Yeah.
By the time you literally purchase it, install it, and you start using it, there is a new and better, faster version available. And it's kind of like that the consumers are one step behind where innovation truly is. And that way they keep you wanting something bigger and better and stronger and faster. Gamers deal with this a lot. They go out and they buy a new computer for their gaming thing, and they're this is the greatest thing ever. And then they open a magazine, and all of a sudden there's something even better. And somebody down the street's playing faster and beating them, and they just have to upgrade. And I'm kind of going, that's where one of my challenge with internet capable TVs and refrigerators and washers and dryers have my challenge. I'm sitting there going, yes, you don't use it, but it's a component in there that's going to eventually give out and no longer work, which is going to shut down other stuff. It's the same with cars now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're putting it into cars now where cars, and I'm seeing all these little videos of, you know, getting a new key for a car is costing you $500-$600 because not only do you need the new key, but you also have to have it programmed. And only dealerships and select car places have the ability to do the programming.
Right. And then, of course, everyone's talking about the kill switch that, you know, I'm like, come on, Republicans, kill the kill switch. Mm-hmm. And that'll be, what is it? Every new car after 2027 you'll have to have it. And of course, it's got biometrics. It's looking at your eyeballs. It's looking at your pupil dilation. It's got cameras. It's listening to you. It's like, absolutely not. So basically, if you've got an older rig, and I've got one that's pretty old, that it's like, you need to take care of those. Because pre that, I don't want to be spied on by my car. And then, of course, there's that viral video with the granny and her son, grandson, and they're trying to get away from a tornado. And it's like, oh, no, Dave, you seem agitated. We can't start the car today. And they're basically going to die.
I literally take that to the basic everyday street level. You know, let's say you're having a kidney stone and you're in extreme pain, not so bad that you can't get to the hospital. You're not crippled over quite yet. But, you know, or a broken toe, broken leg, broken whatever, and you're getting into this car going, I need to get myself to the hospital. It's an emergency. And your car says, no, sorry. Then you're stuck calling an ambulance and paying that fee.
It's kind of, and you wonder, like, how did we get here? And I have to say, because I mean, I just outed myself with a smart washing machine. We kind of brought ourselves here. Mm-hmm. Every time we click OK and accept and bring the technology in.
The idea of convenience is a very strong.
It is very strong. It is very strong. And I get it. I know, you know. So I can't sit there and, you know, wag my finger at anybody else. I think we're all guilty to it, unless you go completely off the grid and you're in the middle of nowhere with no communication at all. And good luck with that, because even to just sort of participate in society to buy basic necessities and food, you know, sadly, cash is going away, which is really a bad thing. So I don't really know what we do about it other than maybe elect leaders that feel like we do. But if you've got Republicans not even going to kill the kill switch, they can't pass the SAVE Act, who do you have?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting there going, right now, I'm as guilty as anybody. I have walked into a Best Buy, Lowe's, Home Depot, any of these ones, and you walk up to that refrigerator that's got that window screen that you can literally, it'll tell you, send you a message if you're getting low on milk. And I'm sitting here going, how convenient would that be? Because I find myself stopping at the grocery store on the way home, and I'm texting people at home, hey, do we have milk? Do we have eggs? Do we have bread? What do we got? What do we need? I'm at the store. How cool would it be to my refrigerator just send me that message?
You just text the fridge.
Uh-huh.
At that point, I guess you have to name it. So it's like, hello, Glenda.
Glenda.
Do I need milk and eggs today? All right. Well, I don't know. It's a tough one. It really is a tough one.
Yeah.
Digital currency and all that kind of stuff kind of scares me. And I'm gigging its data.
Yeah.
For my phone.
There you go. Well, and that's the other part is, no matter how removed from the digital society you want to be, don't buy a TV. You know, don't buy a magic already flushing toilet. Whatever you're doing out there. You can't escape it, because, like you said, to be any part of society, aka, you know, food and anything else that you would need, you have to have, even if you have wads of cash in your mattress, you have to have access to some kind of card that you can utilize, because so many places have gone to the cashless. You can't rent a car without having a credit card to put down. Does it have it on file, even if you're going to pay for that car with cash?
It's all starting to feel very, very Marky Beastie. Just a little Marky Beastie. So anyway, something to be concerned about, something to keep a watch on, and something to be, you know, conscious of when you're doing it, I guess. Wanted to do a quick update too, because we've been following this one. Savannah Hernandez has filed a civil suit. Criminal charges have been brought against the Ostroshuko family, the three lovely human beings who were caught all over video.
Yeah.
You know, allegedly, there you go.
And then ran the press junket to tell you that what you see on video isn't really what happened.
And we're the victims here in this case, because this tiny little 5'2", 118-pound woman is a menace. She said, I've officially filed a civil suit against them. I promise to use every legal avenue to hold them responsible, and we'll be working with to pursue justice. Mm-hmm. She said they're all facing federal charges and will also now be facing a civil suit for their violent and egregious behavior. Not only did his family attack me, but they doubled down and went, like you said, on a media tour to further lie about me while attempting to raise money. I made a promise that I would not let them get away with this, and am looking forward to keeping it. They need to be made examples of.
Yep.
This is broken windows to some extent, in that she was not really seriously injured or, God forbid, murdered, because that's what this would have been. There needs to be steep, serious, real consequences for these people.
Well, the other side of the coin is they're taking the mentality we saw in 2020, 2021 of, I can act badly, and even if I get caught acting badly, somebody's going to funnel me some money to make it all go away. And I'm going, if anyone's funneling money to these people, especially an elected politician, we need to know about that immediately, too, because we know politicians that put together funds to bail rioters out of jail during those summer of love.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and again, this is she's a TPUSA independent journalist, and we're seeing some familiar names on here chiming in on it. Katie Davenport and Honey Badger Mom, of course, the two that we're familiar with, that are always up in Portland, that are out there doing it and have been assaulted and harmed pretty badly themselves. Mm-hmm. Only to be ignored and to be pushed aside and to not have anything ever happen to the people that have allegedly done this to them.
Well, I'm glad that this stuff is going the legal route,
or
the federal level, because Minneapolis is a lot like Portland in what we've seen in these suits that have been filed in Portland on the criminal side or even on the financial side of things. Chow, I believe it was the one that had the filed suit against a couple of Antifa members up in Portland. And in the Portland jury, of course, they're all in bed with them and they dismissed the charges and let these people walk free, even though the behavior was fully caught on video and the medical records are all there and everything else. But yet there's no justice. And I'm glad this is hitting a federal level.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Well, you had Andy Ngo.
That's who it is. Andy Ngo. Andy Ngo. Jonathan chose the one up in Seattle.
Seattle. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that are really kind of watching to see what happens. And again, if you're going to just be getting wrist slaps and a scolding, because this stuff has to be stopped. It cannot be. You look at how bad Portland and you look at how bad Seattle are now. It's absolutely incredible. So good luck to her. I hope this goes, is found in her favor. May the odds be forever in her favor on this one. All right, let's go. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
So here's like a little encouragement to get out there and vote Republican, because what have you got to lose? We talk constantly about the abysmal state of Oregon public schools. And Hunter, we were just joking in the break about Oregon high school diploma isn't necessarily worth the paper it's printed on in a lot of, because everything has been so dumbed down and the standards are so low.
Well, and that to me, and that's the thing, it's like you have a kid graduating from high school in the state of Oregon. If they were to take that diploma to some other states, you're going to be looked at as, okay, well, maybe we need to send you back to high school one more time.
Well, how many have to take remedial reading in college? I mean, there's a lot of that. So just across the border over in Idaho, Idaho State Representative Heather Scott had a subsect out today. She's saying that the Idaho legislature this past session passed Senate Bill 1336. It's a step toward refocusing education back to some of the key American foundational principles. It's a 7-page bill that directs public school teachers on what is required to be taught in schools. It expands and formalizes civics and history materials, instruction rather. It adds specific required content and themes, and it creates new rules for curriculum materials and tightens civics testing and graduation expectations. And I will link that up in show notes if you want to read it, but she puts a summary in here, starting with there's going to be a stronger focus on virtues in education, looking at character qualities, prudence, justice, fortitude, moderation, patriotism. How lovely.
Yeah.
And you know, wow.
Yeah. New directive to teach specific political and philosophical principles, requiring students to understand concepts like natural law over government, consent of the governed, role of the morality in government, federalism, and separation of powers. Wouldn't it be great if some of these kids today that are out running the streets screaming about things understood how these things actually work?
Yes, yes. The third item in it is a new expanded list of required historical documents to be taught, including the Magna Carta, the Federalist Papers, Declaration of Independence, Tocqueville's Democracy in America, Lincoln-Douglas debates, and in Idaho's case, the Constitution, which you could just plug in the Oregon Constitution, which is a great constitution.
I've seen some videos of a guy who he's a teacher and coach. And he reads the emails he will get. And one of the responses he had in a history class he was teaching was, well, if the Constitution constantly needs amendments, why didn't they just make it perfect the first time around? Okay, number four, detailed American history content will require to make sure it includes influence of Western civilization and Christianity, founding principles like natural rights and liberty, the role of Anglo-American heritage, symbols, anti-slavery framing during the founding of our country.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. A lot of that doesn't get taught. And again, you know, you've got people out there spouting off, well, I know my rights and blah, blah, blah. There's a fifth requirement for mandatory teaching about the failures of totalitarian systems, requiring students to learn about communism and fascism failures and include events like the Holocaust, Stalin's purges, and Mao's Great Leap Forward. So this is going to teach the historical consequences of authoritarianism. People throw around those words. That's fascist. You're a fascist. They don't even know what they mean.
Well, new curriculum content rules require all instructional materials to be factually accurate, not truth,
feelings,
not truth, not personal truth accurate, factually accurate.
Wow, Idaho, you crazy people. Number 7, English language arts must now incorporate founding era texts and revolutionary era literature. This will reinforce civics across subjects and build historical literacy through reading.
Well, Idaho's well ahead of Oregon. They've got some readers. I don't think their numbers are quite as bad here as they are here. I think we're on number 8. Changes to civics testing requirements. And students must now pass civics tests and take government history coursework.
Wow. So they're gonna be tested on constitutional principles, federal powers, the Electoral College, and branches of the government. And that should be a basic if you want to vote. What are the 3 branches of government? I don't know. No vote for you. No. Yeah. Well, maybe, but you should at least know this. And finally, number 9, there is a new requirement to encourage, not force, George Washington portraits to be displayed in classrooms. This will reinforce historical awareness. So this is really hopeful. This is something Oregon could do. Mm-hmm. If vote Republican, you get the. I mean, 40 years of Democrat one party rule is just not working. Everybody feels it. There's a real shot this time to really make a change. And something like this, which this gives me so much hope. This is amazing.
Yeah, and these are the things that are being left out of school curriculums in favor of, you know, God knows what. 16 genders and pronoun, the importance of pronouns 101 and yada yada. And I just sit here and go, we here in Salem Kaiser, they just announced a $23 million budget shortfall. And a lot of that is going to result in more kids in classrooms and, yeah. You know, less teachers and teachers' assistants at classroom level. And I just sit here and go, for a state that is one of the top spenders per student in its school system, and yet we are one of the poorest performing, poorest organized, poorly run because the priorities are so skewed. And if we got back to the basics of America,
yeah,
we could actually make a major difference and probably save some money.
Yeah. And teaching the actual facts of the founding and, you know, really looking at not my truth, not your truth, but the truth, and with historical documentation. And then you can have robust debates to talk about it. I mean, but then you're coming at it from a place of factual historical information versus just feelings, or this is what the NPC plug-in for the day is. That's my talking point. Here's my chant. So this is really encouraging. I'm seeing a lot of people, a friend of mine posted this on his, and a lot of Oregon educators looking for really classical return to the classical education models. And so this is something to strive for.
I always had the mentality, and like I said, 30 years ago when I graduated from high school, school was there to not just teach you statistics and numbers and facts. It was there to teach you how to think and how to learn and instill lifelong learning into you and teach you to be critical and think about things and do some research. And we've just gone so far away from that in today's society. And it's disheartening in so many ways.
Yeah. And when you've got, you know, teachers encouraging kids to walk out for May Day and for all this stuff and to protest and thinking that that's the height of, you know, education, it's really distressing.
Well, little secret, Salem Kaiser, they just had an in-service day for May Day. They didn't have students at school for May Day. So they didn't even
convenient.
Have to walk out.
Okay. Well,
welcome
that's
to it. Welcome to the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, this week is up for us. It's going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. We've got great shows planned for next week, so you'll definitely want to tune in. Go out and enjoy the day, and we will see you next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.